On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me.
Hallelujah.
For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Last verse, beautiful.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Mm-mm-mm. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever
Lord. Praise God. We sang that song growing up and didn't know what we were singing as kids. We just knew the old people shouted amen. They liked it. And if you ask them why they liked it, they tell you because their grandma and grandpa liked it. Because we didn't understand the blood of Jesus. Amen. Can I get an amen in the house? Everybody happy to be here today? Hey, hey, hey. I'm thankful for this church. You know, I've got 22 years here, and that's a lot of years being with folks. Most of the time, pastors, after 5 years, everybody wants them gone, or the pastor wants to leave. But you all are family to me. Amen. You all have, I've got memories. Man, I look back at Joe Woodall, and I was thinking back when we first started God's Garage and doing the snipe hunt with all them youth up there near his house. We had them out in the woods banging paper bags with sticks. And he and I was sitting there laughing. We used to have a hayride, and he'd get the cotton wagon from old Daryl Sharp, and we'd fill them kids up in them wagons, and we took baking flour, and we'd cut the bag, got an X on it, and when the wagon would ride by, we was hiding in the cemetery, and we'd chuck it real hard against that screen on the side of that big cotton wagon, and they'd go poof, and all the kids would turn white, and they didn't even know it, and they'd come back to where the lights are, and they all get off the hay wagon, they're all white. We had some great memories in the past, man, but just through the years, as I look around and see all the things and people and the faces, and that me and Doyce, all the porch talks we had, man. Back porch talks. Doyce and I would sit there and drink two or three cups of coffee and talk about every one of y'all, okay? Now, it was all good, though, wasn't it, Doyce? But you... I didn't hear that. But, you know, the mission trips that we went on, Leroy and I have been on some crazy mission trips together. But I look around the room, just the memories, and y'all have made life fun. But you know what's more fun than anything is where God has brought us spiritually. Hallelujah. The journey has not been easy, but the journey has definitely been worth it. Amen. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, to pause and to think, when the Apostle Paul said that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm sorry, children can be dismissed for children's church. When the Apostle Paul was talking about I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, when the Apostle Paul says I'm not ashamed of the gospel, when the Apostle Paul was speaking these things, he knew that there was going to be rejection. He knew there was going to be persecution when you got a hold of a message as radical and crazy and hyper as grace. Right? Paul became hyper because of grace. Paul, to me, as you look back and you study him, Paul would not have had room in his life for a woman. I know God didn't want him married. Paul said it's better that you wouldn't be just so you can get some ministry done, because Paul was all about getting the message of grace out. That was God's mandate for him. God put a torch on his back and said, go, baby. And he flew in his lifetime proclaiming a message that was not popular in that day and age. Guess what? God's doing the same thing today for you. He is asking you to take a message that is not popular, a message that is not accepted, in a Bible Belt community and proclaim how much God loves these people. Now y'all listen, it is not popular. But you know what's cool? Is down in my knower, I still smile because I know that it's right. You know, it may not be popular and it may not be accepted, but it's right. You know how I know it's right? Because for the first time in Barry Simsrott's life, no matter what and where I read in this word, it reflects who Jesus is in me. Amen. It reflects every asset of who we are in Christ. Does that make us perfect? No. But does it show me what I can become in Christ? Yes. Is Christ perfect?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Y'all are awake today. I'm going to ask you a few other questions, so hang in here with me and pay attention. But before I get into my sermon, I want to just tell you a quick joke, as I always do, just so everybody can get their minds off of whatever you're thinking about, okay? There was this woman who went into the dentist office, and she said, I would like to know how much it is for a tooth extraction. I have to have a tooth removed. And the dentist said, oh, he says, well, it's $150. And she said, woo, that's expensive. And she says, can you not do it any cheaper? And he said, well, yeah, I could go without the Novocaine and no numbing, and we can pull it out for $100. She said, wow. She goes, it's still $100. He goes, well, if I get a pair of pliers and just yank it out, it's $50. She goes, fine, put me down an appointment for my husband on Monday. All right. Now, we are, last week I was talking to you about we are a triune being. We are designed by God in the realm of a spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. You possess a soul, and you live in a body. Everybody say it with me. Say, I am a spirit. I possess a soul, and I live in a body. Last week when we talked about this, we were basically explaining to you that your identity is not determined upon your behavior, but your behavior is a result of your identity. What your daddy says about you, you need to believe it. Because if you believe it long enough, you'll become it. They say that whatever you focus on is what will be strengthened in your life. The more you focus on rock and roll music, the more you're going to be strengthened to want to be a rock and roll star. The more you focus on wanting a new house, you're going to be strengthened to press your husband to buy you one. Whatever our focus is, it will be strengthened in that area. So the Apostle Paul, throughout his epistles, was saying that your focus ought to be who you are in Christ. The reason is then you'll be strengthened in that. And if you're strengthened in who you know who you are in Christ, you're going to start seeing an interesting behavioral change. See, it's not a behavioral change based upon your doings. It's grace himself oozing out of your pores. I thought it was interesting. Last night I was sitting in my living room with my father-in-law, and he said that he likes grace and he's been reading a little bit about grace, but he gave this example that he sees it as accountability and grace coming together in his life. That's how he lives his Christian walk. And I said, well, explain, please, would you, accountability? And he says, my obedience and what I do for the Lord. And I said, no, it don't work that way. He looked at me kind of funny. And then I said, watch this, Dad. I said, your accountability or your doings has already been dealt with. You're dead. You are in Christ. So grace and grace alone is what will fuel your doing. Grace and grace alone will fuel your obedience. Grace and grace itself is what God desires and needs. God needs us to not be in the picture, but just to receive what he put in us, because whatever he requires, he bestowed. Whatever he asked of me, he already gave me. So he's wanting us to realize it's nothing that I can do. Hey, when you have talents, and some of y'all are very gifted, it's hard to receive grace because your talents have taken you pretty far in life. I mean, you need to make a little extra money, your talent. You know, Randy plays piano like Liberace. He can go anywhere he wants and do weddings on the weekend and make a lot of money. Right? But if Randy's doing that in order to impress God, in order to be accountable with grace, he's missed it. Because that is not what God is desiring. Amen. What God is desiring is Randy or any of us with our gifts to realize that it's all in his glory, but hey, it's Christ doing it through me. Where do you think you got your talent in the first place anyway? I remember walking around, man, because I was an artist. I thought I was a good artist, and I was cocky with it in Daytona Beach. I was arrogant. I'd charge a lot of money to do a mural, thinking I was good, not realizing it was the Christ in me who's the artist. It was Christ who was good. I should have been bragging on him. At the end, I should have painted an autograph done by Jesus. But then people would think I'm really arrogant. But in the spirit realm, y'all got to understand, grace comes off cocky. The Apostle Paul was considered arrogant. Why was he arrogant? Because he was that confident that what God gave him to proclaim as a mandate, he was going to do it. Whether you put him in prison, locked him up, he didn't care. Threatened to kill him, he's going to proclaim it. Now that's powerful. But where did he get that unction? Where did he get it? It's because his focus was so on Jesus that he was strengthened in proclaiming the message of Jesus. Do you think the Apostle Paul witnessed and proclaimed the gospel within his own self? It was the Holy Spirit. It was Christ in him doing it. It was Christ. It was grace who was doing the obedient work of God. It wasn't the Apostle Paul. What does the Lord want to do through you? Have y'all ever stopped and thought, hey, you know what? What Linda said this morning, the Spirit's going to urge you to do some things. And the Spirit spoke to us this morning. Because she said, get out of the way, Linda. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, speak now. To encourage us and remind us how big and large the gulf of sin that Jesus spanned over for you and me. The Spirit wants us to hear that today. What if she instead, oh, that's going to embarrass me. I'm not going to do that. We wouldn't have been encouraged in that word today that somebody in this room needed to hear that. I want you to go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Today, I'm going to kind of reflect on what I taught last week and enhance it to some degree. It's just adding more to it. I don't know about you, but sometimes leftovers taste better than the original meal, especially when it comes to Italian food. Or I just saw Bridget, or Cajun food. That jambalaya is always better the second day, if there's any left. In my household, at least, or that shrimp etouffee. All right, now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to show you all something very interesting that is lining up with what we've been teaching, okay? Now, remember, you're a triune being. I want you to remember that, because we're going to go there in a moment. I want us to look at verse 30. But of him are you in Christ. Who is him? It's capital H. It's God. But of God are you in Christ, Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Amen. Let me say that again. Because God put us in Christ, he has made us wise, or wisdom, righteous. He's made us sanctified and redeemed. Who made us that way, church? God did in Christ. It says, who of God is made unto wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. According as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, do you know why he added that at the end? Because man loves to get glory for things. I'm going to prove it. We've heard this taught our whole life, have we not? But check this out. How many of you all were raised being told that by your behavior, people will see that you have the wisdom of God? By your behavior, people will see that you have the righteousness of God. By your behavior, people will see that you have the sanctification of God. In fact, sanctification was always based on your behavior, if it was holy or not. And then, your behavior will determine if you're redeemed or not. Anybody ever heard that? I'm the first in line. Now, let me just show you something. If they would have read this scripture in its full context, they would have never told you that. Let's go back to verse 29. That no flesh, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I love it. Hello. Bing. Hello. Hello. I ain't just making this up, folks. It's God's perfect plan of grace and salvation. That your flesh wasn't involved. How about Ephesians 2 and 8? For by grace are you saved through faith, right? Not of works. It's a gift of God. Why is it not of works? So you won't boast. So you won't boast, so you won't brag. So we got to understand that these things that God gave us were all because He put us in Christ. This is a part of your identity. The more you see yourself righteous, the more you see yourself full of wisdom. What is wisdom? Somebody tell me what wisdom is. Huh? Spirit of the Lord? Fear of the Lord, okay? That's what we were taught growing up. Wisdom is simply this. It's the ability to use the knowledge that God has given you. Watch this now. Knowledge, I know people who are very knowledgeable but don't even know how to get out of the back of the church. Y'all hear me? They're so smart, they're dumb. You ever heard that saying? That boy's so smart, he's dumb. People have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom is the ability to know how to use it. God has given us that in Christ. He's given us the ability to use the knowledge of God. He also gave us righteousness. We know now righteousness is not based on what I do. Righteousness is based on what Jesus did. How did y'all receive your righteousness? By faith. By faith. How did you become righteous? By Christ. What proves that you're righteous? What proves that you're righteous? Your behavior? What proves that you're righteous? Your behavior? Church, I'm talking to y'all. What proves that you're righteous? Your identity. It's what you know. Remember now, the ability to know how to use the knowledge is wisdom. The ability to know how to use the knowledge of what God says I am. For me to have the identity, I've got to know what the Father says about me. We went back last week and we talked about the spirit, soul, and body. And I was teaching you how in the church, it's reversed. The church says your behavior, which is your body, if it lines up with your soul or your mind, okay, then therefore your identity will be proclaimed. But that's reversed. Your identity, knowing who you are in Christ, then Paul says you renew your mind to who you know who you are in Christ. So now your mind or your soul, your emotion tank is lined up with now who you are in Christ. Then your body will follow. That is your behavior. Do y'all see how that works? But the church has reversed it. They say, hey, if you behave good, then you're in your heart and in your emotions, your minds, you'll start believing that you really are who you say you are. Therefore, people will know who you are. Y'all see that? That's how messed up we are. Amen. Because that was never God's intention and plan. God's intention and plan is that we realize that He put, okay, let me ask you a question. What was it that you received brand new, or what changed in your life the moment you got saved? That's a good question. What changed in you? Somebody, go ahead. More than identity, what changed in you? Thank you, Larry. Your spirit changed. You're now a new creation. The old man's spirit is dead. But did your soul change? Did your emotions change? Did your mind change? No. When you got saved, you got a new spirit. That's why you are a spirit. But you possess a soul. You possess emotions. You possess your mind. But your mind and your emotions need to be lined up with your identity. Everybody with me? Your identity is your new spirit. It's Christ in you. Therefore, your body will line up and your behavior will change. So in other words, what I'm saying is this. Righteousness is the fruit of identity. Did y'all hear that? Righteousness is a fruit of identity, not behavior. The reason I think the Lord wants us to hear this again is because we have been so brainwashed to believe that people's opinion matters. People's opinion matters. There are people in this church right now who smoke a cigarette and I don't know it, and you know I don't know it, and you'll never let me know it. Because you care about my opinion toward your smoking. But what's sick and wrong about that is, I don't care. You can smoke a cigarette in front of me, and I'll think never less different of you. So if that makes some of y'all feel better, so be it. Get free from that. Listen to me. That ain't nothing but law. You're trying to allow your behavior to show me your identity. Y'all see that? Something that simple. How about when people come over to your house? And 2 hours or 2 hours straight, you're sprinting and you're sweating and trying to get everything hid under the bed so nobody will see it. You want them to think you live perfectly, right? I do it every time. White tornado, baby. Don't ever come to my house and knock on my door without letting me know first. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give you a tetanus shot, all right? Look here. Some of y'all don't have that problem. Some of y'all married a bean counter, and praise God for bean counters OCD people. Man, praise God for OCD people. Goodness, girl, I know it. Amen. We got to know that God is not asking you to clean yourself up so He'll live in you. God chose to live in you by putting a new spirit in you so He can dwell in you. It was not you cleaning yourself that God had an invitation to live in you. God took your old sorry self and He says, I'm going to take that old man and bury him, and I'm going to put a new spirit in him. It's called a new man. It's called Christ Jesus in you and me. And so therefore, it's a new dwelling place. He's in me. He's living in me. So if He's living in me, I got to start getting a hold of my identity. See, look, if we're focused more on identity, we're strengthened in our identity. If I'm strengthened in my identity, what does that mean? That means that my wisdom's coming forth, right? The ability to know how to use the knowledge that God's given. Otherwise, I know a lot of things and can't even get out of the back of the church. Everybody with me? So why is this so important? I want to show you a couple of passages, if you don't mind. Satan loves to keep us focused on behavior because he knows if we can keep us on behavior that we're going to constantly try to earn our identity. Okay? That's his goal. But I love that in this passage that we just read in 1 Corinthians 29 and 30 and 31, that it's Jesus who determines what I am. I don't see it here where it says that God asked you if it's okay if you're those four things. He determined that's what you are. So have you believed it and received it? See, how about the word repentance? Okay, let's talk about repentance for a minute. Y'all ready? All right. Repentance, when I was brought up, was what you did before you got saved. How many of y'all would agree with that? Repent, come and get saved in Jesus. Let y'all know how, and He'll change your life forever. Okay. That's not biblical. Repentance doesn't happen until your new identity. Repentance doesn't happen until you've received a new spirit. Because what is repentance? You are changing your mind or your soul to agree with your identity. How can I do that if I don't even know who I am in Christ? Y'all see that? Watch. Repentance is that middle process. Triune. Spirit, soul, body. My spirit is my identity. It's Christ in me. Hope for glory. My soul is my emotional tank or my mind. What is repentance? Changing your mind. I'm changing my mind that, hey, behavior no longer changes my identity. Identity changes my behavior. See that? So all of a sudden now, here we go, we're seeing that repentance is really happening in the soul realm. It's the soul lining up to your identity. So when we say, hey, that person needs to repent, what we're saying is they need to believe who they are in Christ and stop believing that what they do is going to make God happy. Is that not cool? All right, maybe I'm the only one excited. Woohoo, thank you, Lord. All right, so sanctification is in me. Holiness is in me. Redemption is in me. Wisdom is in me. Y'all think of all the things that are in me, in you. All because of what Jesus did, not nothing that you did. If we'll start focusing on that instead of, well, there's two areas of my life I still got to get fixed, Pastor. What are you doing? You're trying to fix your behavior. Let's let the behavior go. Let's let the behavior go. When's the last time that you stopped and you thought, you know what? I'm going to stop looking at what I've been doing, and instead I'm going to start focusing on what Jesus has already done. In 1 John 1:17, somebody quote it for me. Y'all know it by now. As He is, so are we in this world, right? As He is, as Christ is, so are we in this world. How much of a better verse do you need to confirm that everything that Christ is, He is in you right now on earth? It's not something we're waiting for. We already have it. Amen. Right? Okay. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. All right. This is going to be my wrap-up verse, but I want you to get a hold of this. This is cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. I want to go to verse 18, if you would, and let's read this together. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Heard that verse my whole life, but never knew what it meant. Thought I did, but I missed it big time. I want to show you all in the next few moments how powerful this verse is. But we all with open face. Open face means we are no longer behind a veil. Amen. We have full access to who we are in Christ. Yes. Talking about Christians. Means you're saved. Amen. Means you have a new identity, you have a new image, you have a spirit in you. Everybody with me? But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. Some versions say mirror. I am holding in my hand right now a mirror from God. Amen. And the only way that I can see in the mirror is that I need to take the veil off my face. I can't take the veil off my face, but Jesus did at Calvary. When the veil was split, therefore you and I have access to the Father. We are in His presence. He's in us. We are in Him. It's no longer getting a high priest to go into a room called the Holy of Holies and behind that curtain, and by golly, don't you go back there or you're dead. No more. Instead, it says that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. Now here we are. We're looking in a mirror, right? As in looking in a mirror. The glory of the Lord. That means we're going to see His glory. What's the glory of God? Again, Paul White taught us. It's the goodness of God. When Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. And God says, when I pass by, you'll see my goodness. Goodness of God is His glory. All right, that's why He says, I do these things for my glory, for my goodness. He wants the world to see how good He is. Amen. He don't want you involved, because if you're involved, He said that it's just going to give you some bragging rights and you'll be boasting, and people ain't pressed with man. If they were, the churches would be packed full, because most churches are run by man. Boy, it got quiet there. isn't it amazing? Somebody asked me the other day, man, do you wish you were a pastor of a big church? You know what I told him? I says, I've been a pastor of a big church before. Every youth minister I ever had was big. I said, but the way we made it big was wrong. It was a Barry build. It wasn't a God build. Because man loves to tickle flesh. He's a natural at it. Man loves people to like him, right? How many of y'all want everybody in this church to like you? Sure we do. Every hand would go up if you're honest. Right? So we bank on what man thinks, and so therefore people go to church, they get their feelings hurt, I'm never going back to church again. Why? Because man let them down. They never heard about how good God is and how much God loves them. They heard about what man expected of them, and they couldn't live up to the expectations, so they left. Are y'all seeing this? But what this says is those who are saved, your face has been unveiled so you can look in a mirror and you can see how good God is. You know what the mirror is? The Word of God. What is the Word? It's Christ who has become flesh and lives in you and me. When I look in the mirror, I'm seeing the Jesus in me. And whatever I see about Jesus in here, that means I'm talking about the Jesus in here. And whatever it says that Jesus in here did, He can do it in me too. When Jesus healed somebody in here, the healer Jesus is in me now, so He still can heal me. Goodness gracious. Thank y'all for the few of you that get this, all right? So a few of you are going, the rest of y'all are like, Come on now. Hey, we're all on the same page now. Get a hold of that. Watch this. Look here. We are changed into a similar image. Same image. Do you know what the word changed is? It's metamorphosis in the Greek. Wow. Metamorphosis. Butterfly. Coming out of the cocoon, the caterpillar, into a butterfly. We are being transformed into who we are in our new identity. Everybody seeing that? So it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, seeing the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from goodness to goodness. Once you get a hold of God's goodness, you start looking for more. All right. Guess what? God's going to give you more because Jesus ain't nothing but good. Amen. And Jesus is in you, so He done put the backup goodness in you. Watch what else it says. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at the source, folks. Let me ask you a question. You're a triune being. What part of you was changed the moment you got saved? Thank you. Yeah, y'all listened this morning. Good. Spirit. Let me ask that question again. You're a triune being. Of the three parts, what part of you changed the moment you got saved? Thank you. What happened to your old spirit? Dead, died, buried. Romans chapter 6. Old man, under the ground. And then the Bible says that we were resurrected in Christ. In the newness of life. Okay? In the newness of life. In a life where now we're living in God's goodness, not in our labor. I think the reason the Lord wants me to hang here is because, and I'm speaking from where I'm coming from, behavior was so pounded in my head growing up. And I know it was many of you as I've talked to you. Behavior was the issue to the degree that, as I shared earlier, you would do whatever you had to do to please people. And isn't it amazing that in the 20 minutes that you impress somebody, then you go outside and you always go, a big sigh of relief. Whew, man, good. I didn't mess up. I didn't cuss. They think I'm a Christian. In that little 20-minute blurb. Okay? Now, here's the danger in that. Who wants to live your whole life like that? I did. I was miserable. God wants us to experience His glory after glory after glory. He wants us to experience new mercies every morning. He wants us to experience the abundance of grace. He wants us to experience a hyperness because of grace. Woo, come on now. He wants you all to leave here saying, you know what? Y'all want to know who I am in Christ? Start anywhere you want to look right here. Because it's all about what He's doing in me. It's all about who He is in me. The Lord's been showing me, as we get a hold of this mirror, you got to remember now, what does a mirror do? Ooh, I love it. It reflects. It reflects. So guess what? If Christ is the Word become flesh, and Christ, the Word, is dwelling in you and me, then we also are a mirror. Y'all, this is going to go deep. Get ready. Are you ready? We are a mirror of the Word, which is Christ. We are the only Christ the world's going to see. God chose you as the vessel to reflect His goodness so that people will repent, change their mind, right? You see how simple this thing's getting? The more we uncover rocks, it's like, goodness gracious, there's 15 crawdads. I've been crossing this creek 5 days. Didn't even know it because I never lifted a rock. We've been unveiling rocks and we're seeing, hey, this thing really is loaded with some good nuggets. Amen. So I am a mirror of who Christ is in me. I am the Word reflecting to the world how good God is. So what does that do then? If I am reflecting my identity in Christ, not only is my behavior changing, new souls are repenting. New souls are changing their mind. Y'all ever hear when you were growing up, hey, get out there and make a difference, boy, we need more Christians for Jesus. Right? What they were really saying is we need more people pretending that they have a good behavior. I'm tired of pretending about a behavior. Let's see a genuine Christ behavior. Let's see the behavior that follows a true identity in Christ. Because people who say that grace promotes sin, actually grace has given me power to no longer sin. Grace is getting my body over here with the soul and the spirit where it belongs. Come on now. That'll make you shout and hallelujah. I'm redeemed. I've been pardoned, full and free. Woo! All because the blood still sings. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to thank you all today for hearing this word. I pray that it challenged you. This is where I'm at in my spiritual walk right now. When I wake up in the morning, the Lord's dealing with me in the realm of get your focus on your identity. You are righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are, I mean, look, have I failed you before? If not, it'll happen, okay? If I've ever failed you before, I can tell you I'm sorry in the natural, okay? But the truth is, you shouldn't even notice that I failed you if you're focused on your identity. And we all, now listen, it's not easy to be there. Am I there yet? No. But God's desire is that we're all so caught up in our identity, we don't even see people's flaws anymore. Whew, how cool would that be? Amen. I'd like to go to that church, wouldn't you? Amen. All right. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for the word of truth. I thank you for the opportunity again to proclaim that you are a good and loving God, and to the degree that you didn't keep us just bouncing around in knowledge, but Lord, you gave us wisdom to be able to know how to apply knowledge in the right time. And Lord, the Holy Spirit has come to remind us and give us knowledge of who we are in you, to remind us today specifically that we are a new creation. We are a new man. And Lord, most of all, we have a new identity. And Father, I pray that as we focus now on what you say about us, that our behavior will start to line up and we'll see things and habits and just even bondage and junk that we've strongholds in our life that have held us bound for many years start to be released by the power of the blood. Lord, it's only by us proclaiming your identity that nicotine habits can be kicked. It's only by proclaiming our identity that healing can happen. It's only by us, Lord, focusing on our identity that we can get victory over any stronghold. It's not based on how much we fast, how much we pray, and how much we rebuke the devil. Lord, it's all about what you did at Calvary, and it was enough. And with that, I say thank you. And I ask now you just bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.